I can't begin to express how honored I am and how important this moment is to me to be able to introduce to the Talmidim and to the Rebbeim of the Yeshiva my Rebbe, Rebbe Yaakov Perlo, the Novominska Rebbe. In terms of the official biography, the Rebbe is a member of the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah, the recognized rabbinic leadership of a large segment of American Orthodox Jewry, that segment of Orthodox Jewry which is identified with Agudas Yisrael, is the Rosh of the Agudas Yisrael, and has a tremendous impact on many of the most of the communal affairs that take place within the United States relating to Yiddishkeit in general and the guidance of the people and the movement in particular. The Rebbe is a descendant of great Rebbes, for generations of great Rebbes. Himself is a Hasidic Rebbe with founder and the leader of great educational institutions in New York and Brooklyn. And they say that's the official biography, but there's a couple of words of personal words that I want to say. What I said until now could have been said by anyone, but what I'm going to say can only be said by someone who was zoche to be a close Talmud, albeit many, many years ago, when I was a young man of 17, 18, 19, very impressionable years. It was at that tkufa that Perlo came to Chicago, where I was a Talmud in the Skokie Yeshiva, and brought to the yeshiva a whole new freshness and way of looking at Torah that we weren't used to in Chicago. He brought with him the teachings of his revered Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, as a Talmud Muvak of his, and I remember the Chaburas that we used to have and learning about the different writings. Those were the days before Pachad Yitzchak was printed. It was still in handwritten form, but, and we used to learn different Chalakim of that. Introduced us to the world of Chassidus Torah. We learned Sfas Emes together. For the first time, it was a completely foreign world to all of us who were his Talmidim at the time. And this gave us, and I remember, a tremendous sense of the greatness of Torah, the beauty of Torah, the depth of Torah, something that he brought and that we hadn't experienced in our learning, although we learned from great Rebbeim, but it wasn't on that same derech. It was a Rebbe that I was closest to for many years, to whom I turned for advice, who showed us what it meant to be a Rebbe who cared for his Talmidim, and planted in us the seeds of Avas Torah and the desire for growth in Torah, and ultimately to become what we could become in learning Torah. Perlo was the one who recommended that I come to the Mir Yeshiva, when I was looking for a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, to which I am eternally grateful for that piece of advice, and also eternally grateful for giving the recommendation which got me in to the yeshiva, and so for all that I'm thankful. As Talmidim, I want you to understand that this is an opportunity to hear Divrei Torah from a Zokein. Not Zokein, the Chazal tell us, Ze Kona Chochma. The value of learning Torah from a Zokein is that the acquisition of Chochma is something which becomes an internal part of the people. Ze Kona Chochma, and it's an opportunity for us to hear Divrei Torah, to see. When we look at an Adam Gadol, we see far more than just an external facial fixtures. We see the Torah is Munach. The Torah lies within the Chachma Yisrael, the Gadol Yisrael. That's where the Torah is. That's where the Shechina is. It's an opportunity for us to hear Divrei Torah, which connect back to a couple of generations, generation before my generation, generation of his and his Rebbeim and his great forefathers, I will be zeichet to hear some divrei Torah from my Rebbe, Reb Yaakov Shlomo. Yes, Rabbi Yitzchakaya shared with you some of his personal feelings. I'm afraid I'm going to have to learn a lot of Musa to shake some of it off. I must say, going back to those years, that Rabbi Yitzchakaya is someone whom I can be very proud of, seeing him in Eretz Yisrael and recognizing here what he's accomplished. And it shows that growth and pursuing the correct Derech HaChaim in one's life has to yata d'shmaya. Because when Rabbi Yitzchakaya came to the Mir Yeshiva, the Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecheinu Levracha, little did he realize that he would have an impact on people like yourselves, intelligent, young, seeking Jews, trying to climb on the ladder of Yiddishkeit. And B'derech Shodom Roitzo Leilech Molich Neisoi, that quest, that bikush that he and his chaverim showed in those years in Chicago has met with the success that only Siyata Deshmaya can bring. And he and his chaverim, and he stands out amongst them, are examples of a generation of young people that have achieved a very significant role in their lives and doing something for Klal Yisrael, doing something for Haromas Keren HaTorah, doing something for people like yourselves and having an impact on today's generation. I've heard about this Beis Medrash, both from Rabbi Yitzchakaya in previous times. I usually meet him when I come here to Eretz Yisrael. We daven in the same shul every morning. And from other people. And I appreciate the meaning of your being here. I think I tune in a little bit with what's going on in the hearts and lives of people like yourselves, who've seen the light of Torah, the light of Emunah, and are beginning to grow and climb the ladder of Kirbas Elokim. Because in the final analysis, that's all that matters. The well-known English saying that life is a series of critical choices means that one has to recognize and be constantly aware that there are choices, and to know, to use the language of the Gemara, what is ikir and what is tefel, what is primary and what is secondary, is really at the heart of the process of making choices. Life is a series of adjustments, and you know that perhaps better than I do. That growth requires adjustments. And without adjusting, you can't survive. And most of the time, adjustment is painful. So, it's important to recognize. And I'm sure that I'm not saying anything new to you. I've heard and I see that I'm speaking to a group of intelligent people. And you don't need me to tell you this, that there are critical choices in life to make. And Jews in this world who've become connected to the Torah undergo many processes of making whatever choices they do make and keeping this guideline in mind that it's the ikar that really counts, and all the and the tefillim, the secondary considerations, not the primary ones, have to fall in line. And if that if one keeps that in mind, then he's pretty well focused on what he has to do. I don't think you have to hear words in the sense of kiruv. You've all gone through that already. It's learning, it's decision making on the kind of lives that you will be leading. That's really the challenge that faces all of you. But I will mention something that I had the occasion to say here last week. The day after I came, I spoke to a group of people, and it occurred to me last year, also having had the occasion to discuss with young seeking Jews who are not quite sure which path in life to choose. And I told them what I believe to be a simple fact of history. Not a theory, I don't think, but some facts which prove, and again, what I'm saying is probably so elementary that it doesn't need to be said here. But the observation is important to keep in mind, I think. What we see in history is, well, let's begin from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. There was someone who stood up and rebelled against him named Korach. And he wanted to undo the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Torah that he transmitted. And he said, Kol ha'eder kolam kedoshim, b'seichem Hashem. So why do we have to listen to you? During the days of the Bais Rishon, there were many powerful Nebiyei HaBaal who sought to completely corrupt the derech of the Jewish people. During the days of the Bais Sheni, the Hellenists came upon the scene and wanted to remake the culture of Klal Yisrael. Later on, in the days of the Gaonim, Rav Sadia Gaon, and after him, the Rambam fought a fierce battle against the Karoim, the Karaites, who denied the validity of Torah Shebaal Peh. In modern times, about 250 years ago, when Reform raised its head in Germany and again wanted to remake the meaning of a Jew, the life of a Jew. What is common between all these groups, beginning from Korach until modern times, where these forces that the anti-Torah forces of our people are trying to undo our past, our tradition, our Messiah. Rabbi Say, you know what's common? You know what the common factor in all these are? That they all perished. There's no trace of Korach left, of the Nevi'ei HaBaal. The Hellenists assimilated into the Gentile world. The Karoim are there no more. And you know what happened to the generations of Reform in Germany along some 200 years ago. It took one or two generations and they all assimilated and intermarried. And tragically, that's what's going on in our world today, in America and all over. So the only key to Jewish survival is the Torah, as we know it. I think that's a simple fact in history, but you got to think about it. It's a fact.
to remain Jewish, has no other, there's no other way to remain Jewish than to be loyal to the Torah. The Torah as we know it. The Torah of Moshe Kibbutz Torah, Mesinai Yimsar, Yeshua Mishur, the Skenim, Skenim, Vim, and so on. The Torah of Abaye Verova. The Torah Shabbal Peh, as transmitted by our Chachmei HaTorah throughout the days of the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Geonim, the Rishonim, the Achronim, Ad Hayom Hazeh. That means Jewish survival. And those who somehow, to whatever degree, leave the path of Torah are in danger of leaving the Jewish people. And in our modern world today, starting with 200 years ago or 250 years ago, when reform in all its different facets came upon the scene, and you know, in America we have all kinds of variations of reform, but they know very well. Where there's no Torah, there's no hope for the Jewish people. So this is something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us, that Yiddishkeit is the definition of Jewish survival, what we call Yiddishkeit. Tzitzis and Tefillin and Shabbos and Yontif, based on Emunah, based on a commitment to the values that the Torah teaches us. And people who are raised in the modern world and find it sometimes a difficult process to be able to make this kind of a revolution in their lives. And again, as I said before, I'm sure this is not new to you, but as the Mesillas Yesharim says in his Hakdama, even simple facts, axioms of Yerushalayim have to be restated all the time so they not be taken for granted. So, in confronting the challenges of life today, from the vantage point of loyalty to the Torah, I think what I'd like to also mention here is that labels don't count. There's an old Yiddish phrase known as an Erlich Yid. That's what counts. Which means a person who is a Ma'amin and follows the Derech Hashem of Halacha, Torah, Mitzvahs, which make up his lifestyle. And even though in our world there are all kinds of labels and all kinds of variations, but that's secondary in terms of one's feeling that he's a Torah Jew, where there's commitment to Torah mitzvahs, where there's growth in the Yiddishkeit, that the halacha and the spirit of Yiddishkeit teaches us. When I say the spirit, I mean the hashkofa that Chazal transmit to us and the Talmidim of Chazal. Throughout history, a certain approach to Yiddishkeit has been distilled for us. How do we understand a parasha in Chumash? We're beginning to learn Sefer Shmos now. What is the meaning of Golus, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Matan Torah, of Ashachanti B'Socham? How these ideas become fundamentals in our Emunah? How being in Mitzrayim was the foundry of the Jewish people. They were born as a nation when they left Mitzrayim with a mission in life, beginning afterwards with Matan Torah and culminating in Achris Hayomim. Absorbing these values, studying these ideals, these fundamentals of Yiddishkeit, knowing that there's a concept of Kedusha, of Shekhinah, this is what makes up the attitudes of believing Jews. I've spoken many times to young fellas in the yeshiva world and to mechanchim that the word Kedusha has to be so much a part of our dictionary and our thinking. And it's manifest in different ways. Doing a mitzvah is asher kedishonu b'mitzvosav. Mekadesh ha-shabbos, kedishonu b'mitzvosav. And then Kedusha kedoshim tiyu. It expresses itself in Sur Meira, in Asay Tov. But the idea of Kedusha in one's life, sanctity, that man possesses a neshama, that he's not mere matter. Now I'll tell you something else. I remind myself. I say to the Talmidim in our yeshiva, we all know that man is a blend of guf and neshama. Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam ofer min ha'adama v'yepach v'apav nishmas chayim. So man is guf, body, and man has neshama. This is obvious. This is the olive base of Yiddishkeit. This is nothing new. But in facing the challenge of life, it's like two people sitting in an automobile. One is driving the car. The other one is riding along. Who is in control? As they say in this country, Mimovil. Who is leading? The driver is in control. He is deciding the destination of that ride. The other one is just coming along. But it's up to the driver to decide where those two people are headed. The same thing in life. There's a guf and there's a neshama. Who is in control? Who's driving the car? Who's navigating you through this journey? Is it the guf or is it the neshama? Simple question. So when you talk about critical choices, this is the most critical choice. And deciding who's navigating your journey through life. Is it your body or is it your soul? Is it your guf or is it your neshama? It's as simple as all that, I think. It's as simple as all that. The neshama has one set of values. The guf has another set of values. So, who's in the driver's seat? That's what it really comes down to. Who is in the driver's seat? So all these questions of critical choices and all the fancy language that's used really boils down to this simple question. Who is behind the wheel? Who's in the driver's seat? Ashreichem v'tov chelkichem. That you, Baruch Hashem, decided who ought to be and who is in the driver's seat. It's the neshama of a yid. And how did the neshama know how to drive the car? So for that we have a Torah. For that we have a Gemara. So one absorbs into himself Chochmas HaTorah. One. And he learns what the Torah expects us to do. And he blends together the Gadol Talmud Shemei Bilidei Ma'asa. And therefore the Torah provides direction as to where the Neshama is driving where the neshama is, how the neshama ought to navigate. The Torah provides direction. And Yiddishkeit is a combination of Talmud and Maaseh. Now I'll tell you something else. And this is what I told the Talmidim here. I come every year to spend a week with them. We had a Shabbos together. And this is what I told them at Shalosh Shudas, last Shabbos. We talked about the Gemara, about the Shibta Kari assuring Yaakov Avinu. They told him, Shema Yisrael, our father Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And he responded, Baruch Hashem, Prit Malchusei, Lelem Vod. So, Yaakov Avinu saw that his children are in total unison when it comes to Yichud Hashem, the belief in Hashem Echad. That's an idea, an emunah. We express it every day, and twice a day in Kriyat Shema. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Yediyas Tov Ozeh Mitzvah Saseh, says the Rambam at the beginning of a Sefer. But that's the Talmud of Hashem Echad. That's the knowledge of Hashem Echad. But how does it translate itself? L'maisa. Gadol Talmud, there's a corollary to this theorem of Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. La'osid lovo, in the world to come, the Rambam concludes his Sefer that this will be the picture of life. U'molah ha'oretz deyo es Hashem kamayim la'yom mechasem. There will be nothing else in existence. There'll be nothing real but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Elokus, and man will relate to that deyo es Hashem, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are ideas that we live with, that we believe, that we express. But what's the Lamaisa? Gadol Talmud Shemeva de Maasa. I told them, it's a siman in Shulchan Aruch. We're all very familiar with it. Reish Lamed Aleph and Orachayim. B'chol Maasecha Yil L'Shem Shemayim. Which means whatever you do should ultimately be directed L'Shem Shemayim. So all our activities in life, even the most mundane ones, should be directed somehow to Shem Shemayim, which imposes a challenge upon us. And we can't always be conscious of this. We are not tzaddikim. We're ordinary people. But ultimately, in the back of one's mind, the purpose of all life, of eating and drinking and sleeping and doing business and engaged in all our worldly matters, ultimately is to be, should lead towards Deyo Es Hashem. And that the Pasuk in Mishlei calls Bechol Derochecha Da'ehu. In all your ways, know him. And in the Lashon of Chazal, Bechol Ma'aseh, the Mishnah in Avos, B'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shemayim. I think that it's fair to say that that's the connection. A person gets up in the morning and he goes to business and he raises a family and he provides them with whatever their needs are, and he's out, he's making a living and he's working. And the children are eating and drinking. But it's all ultimately directed L'Shem Shemayim, to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, to bring out the Hashem Echad in the Briya. That's the Lamaisa that comes from the Talmud of Kriya Shema. Gadol Talmud Shemei B'Radei Maaseh. You'd think for a moment that it's a long distance from saying Shema Yisrael in the morning for doing business in an office and earning a living. What connection does that earning a living have with the Kriya Shema when he had in mind Hashem Echad and he covered his eyes to have Kavanah? Where's the connection? The connection lies in V'chol Ma'asecha Yil L'Shem Shemayim. That's translating the value of Hashem Echad that's in our minds and bringing it down to real life. To bring it into real life. And that's what makes life worthwhile. So, I think that these, again, using the Mesillas Yesharim's reminder to us, all these basic ideas of Yiddishkeit have to be restated from time to time and have to be reviewed and have to be absorbed down in our kishkes, down in our insides, so that life becomes more meaningful, so that Yiddishkeit becomes more alive, so that whatever we do is done with direction, with purpose. Fortunate is the person whose life is purposeful if he knows that he's focused. Maybe a long road, and there are ups and downs, and there are all kinds of pitfalls. We all know that. There's not a person in this world, there's not a Jew in this world that doesn't experience pitfalls and obstacles and all kinds of things that are sometimes uncomfortable. But it's like a graph that sometimes zigzag, but it has an upward direction. And that's what we ought to hope our lives look like. Whatever zigzags occur to us, but it's in an upward direction. And our neshamas are in control. And the Torah teaches us the derech, the direction to follow. And this should give us chizuk, and this should give us inspiration to know that we're on the right road. And I say for the third time, Ashrei chelkechem, Ashreinu matov go, chelkeinu manom gerolenu, mayofi yerushaseinu, that you've discovered your Yerusha, your chelek, your gogol in life. I don't think I said anything new. Just try to put into words some of the things that I think that young and old people should be thinking about all the time, including me. I wish you a bracha batzlocha. Yimali Hashem yizbrach, mashalot levavchem l'teiva. You should grow up to be happy, healthy, successful, growing, productive Jews in the Torah sense. V'yashem emochem l'erech yalom teivim.
Amen.